The word of God given to us today is Acts chapter 26, verse 24 to 29. Please turn to page 234 of the New Testament. Allow me to read the words of God. At this point, Festus interrupted Paul's defense. "You are out of your mind, Paul," he shouted. "Your great learning is driving you insane." "I am not insane, most excellent Festus," Paul replied. "What I am saying is true and reasonable. The king is familiar with these things, and I can speak freely to him. I am convinced that none of this has escaped his notice, because it was not done in a corner. King Agrippa, do you believe the prophet? I know you do." Then Agrippa said to Paul, "Do you think that in such a short time you can persuade me to be a Christian?" Paul replied, "Short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains." Amen. Paul ended his self-defense by emphasizing that Jesus died and rose again at the trial convened by Governor Festus according to the request from King Agrippa. At that point, Festus told Paul that he is out of his mind. Since Paul claimed that a dead man resurrected and saves people, Governor Festus thought Paul must have lost his mind. However, Paul replied, "I am not insane, most excellent Festus. What I am saying is true and reasonable." As I told you last time, Governor Festus said that Paul has gone mad to indicate that he is abnormal and that his mental state is not sound. However, this was a wrong judgment. Governor Festus, who did not realize that he was dying day by day from the shackles of darkness and Satan, was the abnormal person. Since Governor Festus was abnormal, Paul, the normal person who had escaped the shackles of darkness and Satan and sought out the light of truth and life, was portrayed as an abnormal person. However, since Paul was wholly focused on Jesus, he could be considered to be a crazy man. There could be no other worthwhile way to live for Paul than to live as a servant and witness of Jesus, who sacrificed himself to pay the price for our sins, conquer the power of Satan, and rose again to offer a path of eternal life, and led Paul step by step in the path of truth and life. Consequently, Paul was crazy about Jesus throughout his life. So he ate for Jesus, walked for Jesus, slept for Jesus, breathed for Jesus, endured persecution for Jesus, received glory for Jesus, and even died for Jesus. He was crazy only about Jesus because Paul knew that this was the way to live a noble life. So Paul concluded at the court with the following statement. Verse 29. Paul replied, short time or long, I pray to God that not only you, but all who are listening to me today may become what I am, except for these chains. Paul declared to everyone sitting at the court that, except for these chains, he prays to God that he wants everyone to be like him. Because of the phrase, for these chains, it's easy to mistakenly perceive that Paul had been tied in chains at the court. When Jews tried to beat Paul to death in Jerusalem 2 years ago, the commander who received the report about the riot mistakenly thought Paul was an Egyptian who had stirred up a commotion with 4,000 assassins. The commander ordered his subordinates to bind Paul in two chains and take him into the barracks of the Roman army. And after ordering his subordinates to question and whip Paul, the commander found out that Paul is a Roman citizen. Surprised by this fact, the commander unchained Paul. And according to Acts chapter 22, verse 29, the commander was afraid that he had bound up Paul in chains. It was strictly forbidden to bind up or whip a Roman citizen before going through an official trial and prove the fact of an criminal offense. Fortunately, Paul did not raise this as an issue, so the commander was not held responsible. In the past 2 years, the former governor Felix and the new governor Festus each tried Paul. But unlike the accusations of the Jews, Paul's innocence was proven. Moreover, as a Roman citizen, Paul had appealed to the Roman emperor. Therefore, the phrase for these chains may not reflect the condition of being bound up in chains as we may easily think. The Greek word desmos, which has been translated as these chains, means ropes or chains. But in the plural form, the word also means imprisonment or confinement. In the original Greek scripture, desmos is written in the plural form, which means imprisonment or confinement. Thus, the English translation also does not say a chain, but chains instead. To everyone sitting in the court, Paul had declared that he wants everyone to be like him, except for these chains, except for the imprisonment. When Paul says he wants everyone to become what he is, he means that he wants others to emulate him. This is not the first time Paul says in the scripture, as what he said in Acts. In Corinthians, which Paul wrote in Ephesus during his third missionary journey, Paul has stated the following. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 32 to chapter 11, verse 1. Do not cause anyone to stumble, whether Jews, Greeks, or the church of God, even as I try to please everyone in every way. For I am not seeking my own good, but the good of many, so that they may be saved. Follow my example as I follow the example of Christ. In the church in Corinth, there were people who caused unbelievers to falter by creating factions and becoming a stumbling block by seeking their own good through the gospel. Consequently, Paul told Christians in Corinth to not cause anyone to stumble and seek out the good of many so that they may be saved, and he encouraged them to follow his example as he follows the example of Christ. Since Paul has shared the gospel to Corinthians during the second missionary trip, he could straightforwardly encourage them to follow his example. However, the atmosphere in the court was different. There was not a single Christian in the audience, and their status was different from Paul's status. King Agrippa and Queen Bernice, Governor Festus, five commanders, and the Council of Caesarea were all the most prestigious rulers of Israel, the colony of the Roman Empire at the time. They were wearing extravagant attire, showing off themselves in the court. Standing in front of them, Paul was in a ragged state from staying in prison for the past 2 years. There is nothing for Paul to show off in the worldly sense, with barely a coin in his pockets. If you only compare the outward appearance, Paul should be envying those rulers and praying to God to make himself like those in the audience. However, the exact opposite was true. Looking like a beggar, Paul told the rulers of the land that he prays to God that they be like him, except for the chains. He may be without the gold and silver of the world, but Jesus the Messiah was with him. To him, he had the eternal life, which was promised through Jesus, who paid the price for our sins at the cross and rose again in 3 days. To him, he had the words of Jesus, the light of eternal truth. Therefore, he declared to the high-ranking officials in the court that he prays to God for them to be like him. A life without Jesus is a march towards death, no matter how fancy he or she may be. And Paul is a servant and witness of Jesus, trying to lead that type of people to Jesus. With those last words, Paul left the room. We will look closely next time while Paul left for Rome after appealing to the Roman emperor. So those in the audience did not see Paul again after he left the room. With Paul's departure, the meeting of Paul and the attendees of the court ended. Is this true? Just because they couldn't see Paul again, does Paul's exit mean that Paul evaporated without a trace? Not at all. Paul's departure followed with a new appearance of Paul to them. Even though Paul's body had left, the appearance and voice of Paul, who confidently declared that he prays for them to be like him, will have resonated even more clearly in their hearts as time passed by. A person living today is set to leave one day. When he lets out his last breath, he has to depart from life. Even during one's life, one has to leave his position or job when the time comes. No matter what kind of exit it is, the departure of man does not mean an end. The departure of man always leads to a new dimension. Judas Iscariot, who betrayed Jesus for 30 silver coins, hung himself. He departed his own life. At the same time, he reappeared, testifying to many people about how a life that tramples on truth leads to a devastating result. Even to this day. In the courtroom described in the scripture, Paul, who declared that he prays for all others to be like him, was beheaded in Rome. He departed from the stage of history. And yet, Paul reappears even in this moment, demonstrating to us how only in Jesus, who rose again in 3 days, there is a life of eternal life without regrets. To commemorate the third Sunday of Lent, during which we contemplate the death and resurrection of Jesus, our Savior, we need to re-examine our lives. Do we live like Paul, as real Christians who confidently declare that you pray to God for all others to be like ourselves, even if you're not rich or insignificant? Like Paul? If today is the day we need to depart to give whatever meaning to our lives, how will our absence reappear to those remaining? Will it be a model for others to follow, or a guide to not follow? Please forgive me for sharing a story concerning me. I received a letter recently from someone living in Busan. He is a 48-year-old doctor of Oriental medicine. From his childhood to high school years, he went to church, but since college, he lived as he wanted to. A couple of years ago, he came across our church's video sermons and started to watch the Sunday sermons and also Wednesday Bible study videos from the beginning. Through this process, he was surprised that his thoughts, actions, words, and behavior changed. And by reading the books I wrote, his perceptions and the thought process, which has stayed the same for the last 40 years, changed as well. His dogma that everything is random and one should live as conscientiously as possible became everything is through God's providence and one must live as the living Word of God. The starting point of his life changed. And he revealed his new determination in his letter, which I will read with his permission. This morning, I received a phone call from my patient, a middle-aged woman who has a job in the insurance sector. I have received many requests from patients like her, and those requests had not troubled me before. Her request was the following. I have insured myself for any damages or harms, but I can only receive compensation if I have been hurt and have received treatment for it. Even though I am not hurt now, please treat me for those prescriptions. Please write that the herbal medicine is used for treatment purposes. Of course, the real treatment I want to receive is appropriate medicine and acupuncture for the real symptoms I have. Other hospitals and oriental medicine places have responded to my similar requests. You will also, right? Frankly, such patients are easy to handle, no matter how much treatment fee they are charged, since they will receive it from the insurance company. They do not care about the amount of the fee, happily receive the treatment, leave without complaint, and even introduce other patients to me. Such patients are pleasant for the doctor to treat, so they are perceived as easygoing patients, and the vice versa. I told her to come in first and let's talk. I didn't refuse her at the spot since we were not talking face to face, so she could be hurt. She knows better than anybody else that this is illegal and going around the rules and false because her job is related to the insurance company. She does not need an explanation why this cannot be done. What I needed to do was explain why I do not practice herbal medicine this way, and if she didn't understand, I meant to treat her for free. Having lived as an oriental medicine doctor, I have learned that such cases cannot be dealt by instructions and discipline. I needed to do what she wants, but pay for the damages that the insurance industry would have paid for. I am planning to do so this time around, but ask politely that I want to practice honestly. If she doesn't like it, she will probably leave me since there are many oriental medicine clinics and oriental medicine doctors. She has not come in yet, but I have made up my mind. But the reason why I'm writing this letter is because such temptation will come again, and I'm unsure if I will win all the time. This letter is perhaps like a letter I'm writing to myself. At the time when I received this call was when I was reading the last part of your book, The Lifetime of Humans. It does not seem like a coincidence that the phone call came at that time. If I had received the call during any other time, I may not have made such decision. You can live without a couple of 100,000 wons. Whatever, I can live like this and die someday. The last statement in the Busan dialect means that I will continue to live like this for the rest of my life and die. In the current society, where insurance money and false treatment fees have been raised as a social problem, isn't it moving to meet a Christian trying his best to live as an honest doctor? As long as he tries to live as a true Christian, his departure will surely lead to a new appearance. And through lives like his, history will be renewed. The book, The Lifetime of Humans, mentioned in his letter, is the fourth and last letter to youth I wrote about 10 years ago, and the topic of the book is departure and appearance. And I ended the book with the conversation I had with a senior pastor after 10 years since my return from Switzerland. The senior pastor who has served as the president of a certain Christian denomination knew very well about how I had pastored the Church of the Lord for 10 years and why I didn't take my family when I served the Geneva Korean Church for 3 years. He was sad that other pastors didn't like my way of life to abide by my convictions based on the words of God, and advised that to live as a pastor for a lifetime, you have to be welcomed among the pastors for your life to be less difficult. The epilogue concerning the conversation in the book, The Lifetime of Humans, is as the following. I have traveled a long distance with an elder of the field. Because his hobby was driving, he drove his large car during the 5-hour round trip. During the trip, he told me many stories, and towards the end of the trip, he said, "Pastor Lee, I liked driving ever since I was young. So now, I know how to ride comfortably. If the car travels on a tough path, I waver with it. If I try to stand still even when the car is shaking, I easily become tired. You see, life is the same. You have to shake in the same direction as the world is shaking for your life to be comfortable. If you try to stand still when the rest of the world is wavering, it's too tiring." After a silence, he asked, "Do you understand what I'm telling you?" Why couldn't I understand him? "Pastor Lee, don't try to be so strict and make some compromises. You're past 50 now, and better live a comfortable life. Of course, he meant well, and he told me so out of his love for me. I replied to him, "Yes, of course, I understand." But he did not understand the true meaning of my reply. I replied so to mean that, yes, I understand. So, I will live the rest of my life as today and die. The reason is simple. The departure of human is an appearance, and the upright departure and appearance has the power to renew the prospect of history. And so, I want to live as a true Christian during my lifetime and die. Dear beloved youth, won't you also walk this path? The Oriental medicine doctor in Busan paraphrased my writing to declare that he himself will also die living as written in my book, because he was reading this book while getting the phone call from the middle-aged patient who asked for a false prescription. He ended his letter saying that he will live an honest life and die. Do you truly believe that our old selves died in Jesus, who died as a sacrificial offering on the cross to pay for our sins, and that we have become anew in Jesus, who conquered the power of death and rose again in 3 days, giving us eternal salvation? Then, on this third Sunday of Lent, during which we commemorate the death and resurrection of Jesus, would you all walk the path of faith for those who are saved? Even if we are insignificant and poor like Paul, if we confidently take steps towards the people in the world, declaring that we pray to God for them to be like us, then when we take our last breath, our departure will definitely lead to new appearances, and the prospect of history will change because of us. Let's pray. Father God, Paul did not have anything to show off to the world. He was poor, weak, and old. However, he did not envy anyone. Instead, he declared confidently that he prayed to God that he wants the rulers of the world to be like him and everyone else to be like him, because he had the eternal life of Jesus Christ, which cannot be bought with power or gold. Paul lived as a servant and witness and departed from history after he was decapitated. However, he reappears to remind us that the path of faith we are taking is right, and to encourage us to continue our path without hesitation. We thank you for the grace to re-examine our faith on this third Sunday of Lent to commemorate Jesus who died and resurrected for us. May we continue to walk together this path of faith, declaring to people of the world that we pray for all of them to be like us until we die. Consequently, when we take our last breath, may our departure lead to new appearances, and may the prospect of history be renewed through our lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.